It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, the right advice at the right time, and Cecil is with us this morning. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
So
good.
What shall we talk about today?
Well, Ben, I want to talk about some of the, if you will, kind of a top 10 list as to different kinds of Medicaid issues, things that just our listeners in general need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, I'd like to start by kind of giving a little background here, because even the word Medicaid is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to see a lot of clients, Ben, here in Eastern North Carolina whose loved one is either in a nursing facility at the end stage of their life, or is potentially looking at that possibility in the near future. And this falls into an area of the law sometimes referred to as elder law. And within the context of this substantive area of the law, the reality is that many clients, Ben, as you know, mm-hmm. are unable to afford the $5,000, $6,000, even $7,000 a month that it costs to be in a nursing facility. It's just really more than most people could ever dream to be able to afford.
Yes.
We have to keep in mind that these very same people, of course, have a home or usually have a home.
Mm-hmm.
They have the expenses of continuing to maintain that home if their husband or wife are still in the home, not to mention just general expenses of living, food, clothing, shelter, automobile expense, insurance, and taxes on the home. And so to pour on top of that a $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month long-term care expense is just not doable for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Ben, this lays the predicate, if you will. This sets forth the foundation for why Wes and I and the other lawyers at the law firm are called upon on a regular basis to help people navigate the Medicaid laws.
Right.
Because Medicaid will pay mm-hmm. for long-term care in a nursing home. Now, Medicare will not. And right there we have an enormous confusion. I know our listeners are saying, Cecil, what are you saying? Medicare, mm-hmm. Medicaid, Medicaid, Medicare. What is the difference? Medicare is not means tested, Ben.
Right.
And it is a program, a federal government program administered by the states on some levels with regard to retirement that all of us at mm-hmm. some point are going to be the beneficiary of. That is Medicare.
Right.
Medicaid, on the other hand, is tested based on our net worth,
mm-hmm.
based on our assets. What, and also not just so much what our assets or net worth happen to be, but what is the type of asset, the nature. We have to draw a very distinct line in the sand relative to real property assets versus, of course, liquid assets, meaning CDs, bank accounts, stocks,
mm-hmm.
IRAs. With all of this said, Ben, we therefore are confronted with guiding clients with navigating the Medicaid rules
mm-hmm.
and regulations. And there are absolutely some traps that are out there that I know as I go through these this morning, and Wes and I will continue this conversation next week, that are going to, if you will, ring a bell with our listeners.
Right.
And right off the top, Ben, is the infamous, if you will, 5-year look back period.
Mm-hmm.
Or many clients say, I understand there's a 3-year look back period. Well, there is a look back period, and for years and years, it was 3 years, but it has been amended and is now in effect at a 5-year period. And what basically this is a period of time back, looking back for mm-hmm. 5 years that Medicaid is going to look at what transfers have you made in the last 5 years. Because if you have made transfers of your net worth, many times that will then sanction or penalize you being able to qualify your loved one for the Medicaid benefit.
Doesn't mean you won't qualify. It just may mean it'll take longer.
Correct. Now, there's several caveats to this five-year look-back rule. Several things right here that we need to talk about. The first one is that our listeners, many clients say to the elder law lawyer, they say, well, but I understand that I can gift $14,000 a year to my children mm-hmm. and to my grandchildren. And therefore, you know, beginning about 4 years ago, I started gifting $14,000 a year to each of my children and my grandchildren. Well, Ben, that is our estate tax and gift code.
Mm-hmm.
That is our gift taxing exclusion under federal law, and it is not applicable, if you will, to Medicaid requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Medicaid does not allow you to gift $14,000 a year.
So, but does that mean that it has to be clawed back into?
Yes, the, it means, well, it has to be, let's put it this way, it has to be dealt with. It
has to be counted.
It has to be looked at and counted and dealt with. And there are many different ways that we can help a client in dealing with that issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the first line of communication this morning is for our listeners just to be aware that you are not allowed before 5 years of qualifying or attempt to qualify your loved one for nursing home assistance to gift away the $14,000 a year. That law does not apply in the Medicaid context.
Right. So the look back period will still account for all that.
It will.
Yeah.
It will. Now another trap, is that we children and grandchildren of elder people many times take care of our loved one
mm-hmm.
and we are compensated for that. We are, some children, stop their job or refrain from part-time work. They move their parent into their home or grandparent and they take care of their parent or grandparent and they are compensated for this, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless this agreement of compensation is in writing, then believe it or not, it's considered a gift.
Hmm. Right.
There's no writing, there's no compensation agreement, mm-hmm. personal services contract that is documenting, if you will, the fact that these services are anything other than simply gratuitous.
Mm-hmm.
And so we must reduce to writing the fact that there is a contract between our loved one and our caregiver that, that provides that the services are reasonable, they're suggested by a doctor, they're medically necessary, and that based on these factors, the services are not gratuitous, they are not a gift to our child, they are in fact legitimate arm's length payment, the same kind of payment, Ben, that we would make to a caregiver mm-hmm. or a home health agency.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The same kind of concept, not gratuitous.
So, but that would, in essence, reduce your estate if you were making those payments?
Yes. If you have a personal services contract, a caregiver contract, doesn't matter what it's called, but it's reduced to writing, okay,
mm-hmm.
then that is just like paying your light bill. For
right.
the elder person, paying your taxes, your insurance. You are now paying a caregiver to come in and take care of you to assist with daily living. And it is not sanctionable. It is not, There is no look back period as to something of that nature. But again, it must be in writing, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. There's some, a couple of good hints that people may not have known. We'll have more to come in a moment. If you would like to ask your questions, you can reach us right now at 800-818-2255 or these local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
And we'll have more with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins right after this. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 at AM 1240. Of course, with Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins and Let's Talk Legal, brought to you by Harvell & Collins every Tuesday morning. We're talking about what pays for nursing care. And
yeah, some of the tidbits in and around, if you will, Medicaid and asset protection planning. And I welcome any of our listeners to call in with a question or email us at the office if you have a question, or even call the office if you have a question. I do realize this is a complicated area, and it's difficult sometimes to get all of the facts out there. But what we've spoken about so far, Ben, is that there absolutely is a 5-year look back period.
Mm-hmm.
There is gifting privileges in our country and in our state of $14,000 a year, but not for Medicaid qualification.
Right. Right.
And the other issue that we spoke about was that if you have a loved one, giving personal services, helping your elder parent or grandparent, then that's wonderful. But we need to reduce that agreement to writing if they're being compensated.
Okay. How does income figure into this?
That's a good question. There is, again, a distinct line, a differential between discussing income, which is, let's talk about usually that Social Security income, as well as maybe a pension, if there is a pension, any kind of retirement plan. Those are income sources versus your assets, which of course is your home, your bank account, your bonds, your stocks, your CDs, your IRA. Those, of course, are considered your assets.
Mm-hmm.
So Medicaid is going to, if you qualify for Medicaid, Medicaid is going to apply your income toward the care.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way around that. There's no way to, for us to assist clients in, you know, protecting their income.
Right.
We can help them protect their assets, their home, their CDs, their retirement accounts, their bank accounts, things of that nature. Things like that are things that we can discuss and see if there might be a solution. But as to income, the nursing home, of course, is going to take the Social Security and take the pension. But that most likely, in most cases, Ben, does not cover the full cost of care in a nursing home for 1 month, which now, as we know, is pushing, you know, $6,000-$7,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks do not have $6,000 or $7,000 a month of income.
Right.
They might have, you know, Social Security and maybe a pension. That maybe, let's just use an average, let's just say it's $2,500 or $3,000 a month. Well, still, that's not $6,000 a month.
Right.
And so the difference is now paid for out of their pocket if their assets are not structured properly, or either the difference would be paid for by Medicaid. If their assets are structured properly and we help this family qualify their loved one for Medicaid, then yes, the nursing home is going to take the Social Security and pension if there is one. But the difference is then paid by Medicaid.
If the rest of the assets are reduced enough.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, if we qualify for Medicaid, which is doable, by the way, in many files.
Right.
It is then critically important, Ben, to realize the following. Medicaid will have a lien on any assets that are titled in our a state over and beyond, of course, anything, but unless it's under $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So many people will qualify for Medicaid owning their home, mm-hmm. because you can qualify for Medicaid owning land.
Right.
Millions of dollars of land, I might add. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you may recall earlier, Ben, I spoke about the fact that there was a difference between real estate and liquidity. Medicaid in the state of North Carolina does look at the two differently, and it qualifies people, for Medicaid, based on their liquid holding, not their land holdings.
Right.
And so many clients qualify for Medicaid, and for assistance with their nursing care for their family member, and they still own real estate. And if they leave this real estate in their estate, if they do not take measures to remove it from their estate, then Medicaid will have a lien on it. And we do have, Ben, just so many files,
mm-hmm.
That come in every month where, you know, this is the case. Folks are astonished,
right.
when their loved one dies and they get a letter from the state of North Carolina Department of Medical Assistance saying that your loved one, while they were living, that they were paid benefits under the state law, Medicaid benefits of $60,000-$70,000 or higher. And that as a result of these benefits that were paid, we now are asserting a lien against the family home.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, is a real tragedy, and you can only imagine what a surprise this must be to the folks who did not, you know, get some advice on this on the front end. So this is the bottom line. If you have a mother, father, grandfather, aunt, uncle that you are caring for, and they have qualified for Medicaid, they are receiving some sort of Medicaid benefit. Again, I want to hasten to say, not Medicare.
Right.
Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Then it is critically important that you consult with a lawyer, and get some guidance on how to structure their assets so that potentially at the end, their assets are not titled within their probate estate.
Okay. All right. We'll have more to come in just a moment, too, on Let's Talk Legal. If you would like to call in with a question, you could do that right now.
Call me at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
And it's an important topic on Medicaid. And if you'd like to call in, go ahead and call, and we'll try and get your answer right here with Cecil Harvell from Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak on the talk station FM 107 at AM 1240. And we're talking about elder law care, but we also have a storm coming there, Cecil. So let's talk a little bit about protecting some of those that paperwork.
Well, yeah, I guess we do have a storm coming. I'm like a lot of folks. I try to not think about it until it's a little bit more real, but I guess it's become real, hasn't it, Ben, this morning?
Yeah.
It's out there and it's coming our way. Ben, it does bring up the question, you know, where do we put our important papers, during a time like this? Not that we hope and pray that this is a storm that's going to create devastation to eastern North Carolina, but what do we do under those circumstances? And of course, you know, it's a known thing that many folks, when they leave or evacuate, if they do, they do take their strong box with them, with their important papers,
mm-hmm.
Personal photographs, important, you know, things within the home. And this is just standard protocol that we all know about. And so if we are confronted with some sort of a storm that would create those kinds of, that kind of devastation. It would be important that with your packing of your items as you leave your home to evacuate, that you also take with you your important original papers. This is all the more reason to not maybe keep these important original papers in your home. We at our law firm have a vault system where we maintain these original important papers in a vault system that is, in fact, you know, waterproof and stormproof, and things of that nature, so that they would be protected under these kind of potential catastrophic events.
Right.
Ben, we also now, I hasten to say, you know, we are able to keep our important documents in a lockbox, mm-hmm. in a safety deposit box, mm-hmm. at one of our banks. It used to be that no one would do that because they knew that the box was locked down, mm-hmm. at death. Those laws have changed. The box is not locked down. It is important that your loved one, your executor, your agent, if you will, have a key, mm-hmm. be a deputy on the box. But if you set up a lock box, put your important papers in it, your originals, you name as a deputy on the box your executor, then you're set. Your executor will be able to go in there, mm-hmm. You know, the same time that they, if necessary, go to the funeral home in order to make arrangements. They are able to go to the bank and open the box and get the items that are in it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The law on safety deposit box at banking institutions has changed, and they are not locked down like they used to be.
If somebody is evacuating, and they want to take certain things with them as
yes.
well. Too. So they may have papers with them. They need to keep those in something still that'll be safe while they evacuate.
Well, they do. They do. And, but that it, that would be the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if one is going to have to evacuate, and if your original important papers are at your home, then it's important that you now take them in a safe container along with you as you leave the home in your vehicle. We're also told, by the way, aren't we, and this isn't so much legal advice, it's just practical advice, that we should take our insurance policies
right.
with us
right.
and other kinds of important documentation, our vehicle titles,
mm-hmm.
our insurances, our homeowner insurances, important numbers,
mm-hmm.
that list of numbers that we all keep in the kitchen drawer, if you will,
right.
with the telephone book, you know, things of that nature. Again, I believe that there has been, you know, our governor has, you know, alerted mm-hmm. our state that we're under a strong storm warning. And it is time to kind of put our mind around that and what that means,
mm-hmm.
and to be organized about things if we do have to, for any way, reason, leave our properties. Then it's important that they're, you know, make a little short list right now of the things that you really do need to take. And certainly your insurance policies, your vehicle titles, your deeds, your transfer documents, your title insurance, your homeowner's insurance, your will, your power of attorney, these would all be in that strong box that you would put in your vehicle along with that suitcase.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Again, we hope everyone stays safe, but we'll be back next Tuesday with more from Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. If you want to find out more about your legal life, you can go online to harvellandcollins.com. Also, give them a call at 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City.